Happy New Year to everybody. It's good to be worshiping the Lord with you this morning, and especially good to have communion together and to think of the many favors God sends us as living under His care for a new year, the gift of a new year to follow Him. So take each day as a gift from God, and take God as the biggest gift in your life in each day, if you would. I want to say welcome to a person who's going to help us out a lot in music and has been doing so, Vicki Boer, as she is our new music director. I noticed was mentioned last week, but I want to mention it also on a part-time basis. And Vicki is an A-plus musician and will help you sing better than you already sing. I always sing better when Vicki's around. Appreciate her life and gifts. And she loves the Lord and loves people. And she is the inventor of Neighbor Day. So Neighbor Day, something happens in September. If you like Neighbor Day, thank Vicki when that rolls around. Get to invite a neighbor and be outside a little bit for that. Well, here we are 4 days into eternity already in 2009. I don't know if you think of your days like that. You're moving into eternity. That's the way God has the clock rolling for us. And if I could change a famous saying a bit, only 1 year will soon be past. Only what's done with Christ shall last. So we have a chance to work with God and have what we do count for forever. And that really is for all people in all vocations, in all endeavors of life, whether you're shoveling snow or shopping or, you know, praying or teaching a Sunday school class. All that can be an act of service and work to God that can count for forever as you do it towards Him. It's interesting, in the New Testament, there's no distinction between each person in the pew and a missionary or a minister, for example. There's no distinction in the New Testament in terms of the calling of God on people's lives to work with God. And that gives a tremendous value to each person as we serve as ministers and missionaries. That was a later invention of religious folks as they set the clergy apart in a higher manner, higher to be seen during the sermon, maybe on the platform, but to serve alongside with you in that way. So to serve with God, then things last forever. Work by yourself in this year, and things crash and burn. They're dust and ashes eventually. And we all don't want to be in those kind of endeavors. So there's a lot of different experiences you and I can have with time in the new year. Okay, you think of all the things you may experience. Sometimes you'll say we make time when we're efficient and we travel well. We made time. Some would say, boy, where did time go? That'll happen to you sometime in the new year. Some will say time dragged on. Try to want to avoid those experiences. Those are the kind of experiences often when we're in a trial or a difficulty. Time drags on. Take time. We'll do that for God, for one another. Many of us will kill time by wanting it to pass and fiddling. Some will waste time. Some will occasionally be on time. Some will call a time out and say, we need that. Some will say, I want to have only good times. Let those things roll. And some will try to seize time. Say, can I capture this moment and just let it go on? But God would instead capture your soul, something better for you than even the moment you previously had, and suddenly it's gone. And you remember, you always have time for the one you put first in your life. You always have time for the one you put first. Your heart and your affections and your decisions will naturally go to that which you put first. And of course, Christ would step forward and say, come follow me. So to make time for Him in our thoughts, our loves, and even priorities of worship and things like that. God commands us in the Bible to consider time. Think about it. God says. Think about that. Time. The calendar goes. The clock is ticking. Some of my favorite passages about time in the Bible are these. In the fullness of time, Jesus was born. Right at the right moment. A year earlier, wouldn't have done. A year later, 10 seconds later, not so. Just in the right time, God brought salvation through His Son. And if you're waiting for God to do something in your life, you know, you should have this assurance that God will do it and bring it about in just the right time. He will come and give a resolution to that which is on your heart. And you'll know it's Him. And you'll know nobody else could do it but Him. He'll come just at the right time. The Bible says, redeem the time, seize the time, make the most of the time. There's a sense of urgency about that. About Jesus' return, the Bible says, the time is short, the time is near. So we live with anticipation. A great prayer in the Psalms, which you could pray every day. Lord, my times are in Your hands. That's a great way to consecrate every day. And the experiences you have, maybe a prayer in the morning. Lord, my times are in Your hands. Let's go together in this endeavor of life. There's a time for every purpose under heaven, the Bible says. A time to love and a time to hate. A time to be born and a time to die. Time's up. Time is over. And time is no more for us at that point. And one more favorite passage. It's really great. And if you could take it as something God gives to you from His Word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you look at the context, it was meant to be a blessing for all generations, for everybody since the Lord has been born. The verse is this. It is the time of God's favor. I don't know if you anticipate that in your life. God would give you that message through Christ. It is the time of God's favor. We live under the grace of God. You can know Christ. You can walk with Him today as just like folks did in any time in church history. It's the time of God's favor to say, thank You, Lord. Moses prayed in Psalm 90 about time going. He said, Lord, teach us to count our days so we can get a heart of wisdom. Help us to pay attention to the shortness of life and what it's like. Count the days. New Year's a time of fresh beginnings. Augustine said about new things. There's one thing that's not new. He said it was the love of God towards you. You know, sometimes you meet somebody and you say, I began to have a relationship with that person, or I began to like them, and eventually I loved them. But with God, Augustine said this, there was never a time where God began to love you. Because He loved you from all eternity past. That's incredible love. Before you showed up, God knew your name. He had you on His heart. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He is God. We need that kind of care in this world. So we know we're loved all the time by God. Never a time where He began. You know, He didn't have to wait till we got our act together. There He was. Waiting in anticipation for us. And then on we go. What a year you could have with God under that care. We know from the Bible that what we do can count forever, but what we do also can be fleeting and a waste. So what part of 2009 will be something great from God with you, and what will be fleeting through your hands? From God's Word, we know sin is the biggest waste of time there is. Sin is the biggest waste of time. And the two commandments, love God and love people, love your neighbor. If you and I spend 2009 not loving God, not loving people, we will waste our time in whatever endeavor we throw ourselves into. It might be the fulfillment of personal resolutions or whatever, but if we're not loving God, not loving people, it's a waste of time. And our experience tells us this. The Bible tells us this. Sin is a waste of time. But sometimes seeking good things apart from the Lord also can be a waste of time. I knew a dear couple who were married in their early 20s, and they were young and had a bright future ahead of them. They had a very unique vocation. that they both did together. They were both in the circus. Goodbye, cruel world. I'm off to join the circus. That's an old song. And I remember seeing the movie Toby Tyler when I was little. Toby Tyler, I think he ran away from home, joined the circus. And some of you still want to do that. But these people did it. I don't know if they ran away from home, but they were a couple, and they were trapeze artists. Float through the air with the greatest of ease, they did. And I thought, what a great way to live, just every day. Thrills and smiles and cheers and good times. You know, if we were younger, where do we sign up to do that? And yet, as a young couple, they struggled with one thing as they prepared for marriage. They said this. They said, sometimes we don't see the purpose in all these good times. That's what they said. They had like the wisdom of Solomon in their early 20s. And they struggled putting God in the middle of their work. They thought even the circus work with everything good seemed meaningless and meaningless without meeting God in those experiences. And Jesus said, what profit would it be to a person if you gained the whole world and lost your soul? The things that we sometimes go after, and everybody prays in 2009, Lord, only by the grace of mercy of God could this be a year of health and just good times and fun times and one good thing after the next. You know, if God brought that about, you know what we would, our soul would eventually feel empty. If that's what we were just seeking. If you go through a difficult time or a time of pain or loss or suffering, sometimes you say, there's meaning in this that I didn't find when the party was rolling. I know God now in a way that He's there and He helps. We should know this from Jesus' birth. He wasn't born in palaces and parties. He was born to people who had great need. He was born to seek the sinner and to seek those who had no hope. So I think anybody then could relate to Jesus. If sometimes you lose your hope or you lose your way or you know you have sin, Jesus is for you. He's for you to come and make the day well, help you redeem the time. I know I went to a seminary preparing to be a pastor, 3-year thing. And the first 2 years, the only thing I did in seminary, unfortunately, was wait to get out. I can't wait to go and work in a church because it's a lot more fulfilling than, you know, what I thought was more fulfilling than just studying all the time and doing things like that. So for the first 2 years, I made it. I didn't redeem the time. I wasted time. It was a long 2 years. I made it more painful than it needed to be. Until the third year, I had a teacher who said, you know, don't just look to the future and say, oh, you can't wait to go and work with people in a church. He said, serve God now. Know God now and enjoy God now in the study and in the discipline and sometimes the drudgery of what you're going through. And meet Him now. And that third year for me in seminary was a totally different year. You'd have thought I went to a different school. It wasn't a different school, but I was different. Because I thought God is here now. And it was one of the best years of my life, learning of Him. Learning of Him. And God can do that for us as we turn our lives over to Him. When the question God gives to us, do we want to work alongside Him and be His craftsmanship, or do we want to try to work on our own? If we work on our own, we work alone, and eventually we die alone. And that's not a future God wants us to choose. Without Him, we work alone, we die alone. With Him, we work with Christ. He does more than we could think or ask. Our labor's not in vain. It always counts for something. That's a promise He gives us in 1 Corinthians. And what we do counts for eternity. Most people are often afraid to say, I'll work with Christ and put myself in His hands. Well, He might ask me to do something, you know, that I can't handle.
Yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it? And you can see His power at work then, and His care. One family took a vacation, and when they were on the roads that were real familiar with them, you know, they talked with one another, and things went very well, and they had good fellowship, and God was blessing. And then they tried to become real efficient and just meet goals that they had. They hit the D.C. Beltway. They were heading down south. And six lanes one way, six lanes the other. Nobody goes under 70 normally. And they said all the things that they felt was happening in the car beforehand went away when they hit that beltway. And it was just survival and dodging in and out and meeting certain deadlines. And to work, they thought, to work towards their destination. That's what life was all about. They said during that time, it felt like they lost their soul. Whatever was happening, they didn't feel the nourishment when they forgot one another and forgot the blessing. And God can turn your time of meaninglessness or trying to do things yourself into a time with Him. Here's a great quote from C.S. Lewis you might take for the new year. God uses all the wrong roads in your life to get you to the right place. How about you? All of us have taken wrong turns. Sometimes turns towards sin. Or turns towards, well, maybe God's not that important in life. I'll find something better. God will use all the wrong roads in life to get you to the right place. And that place is with Him. That's the right place. And the year under His favor is the right time for that. You don't even have to understand what God is doing in your life. You just have to know He's there. And you could trust Him. So as He says, put your hand to the plow and don't look back. Certain doors in your life under the healing of God, you should shut. Not to bury things that are still painful. But some doors, after crying about them and sharing and working through it with the Lord, should be shut. And say, I put that under the grace of God. And I walk forward with Him right now. And to take the promise from God's Word. So today and this year will be a time of God's favor. That's the truth that could set us free. What's God's New Year's resolution for you in 2009? We have our own, and some are from God and some are from us. But what would be God's New Year's resolution for you? God offers you this, another year with Jesus. That's His resolution for you. Another year with Jesus. And you would trade in all the resolutions you have, whether you fulfilled them or not, for the fulfillment of that resolution in your soul. Yeah, it was another year with Jesus. And if you think anything's better than that, then you could confess that sin before God. Before we have fellowship with Him and communion, and we set aside a time of saying, well, we remember how good He is. How good He has been and will be. And from everlasting to everlasting, He'll include us in on fellowship with Himself. So might we take with God His favor and know a time of refreshing during this time with the Lord. And, you know, folks around us sometimes are pretty accurate. 2009 might be a very difficult year in a lot of ways for nations, for the nation, for people, for churches, for individuals. But in your soul, God would say, a year of God's favor, a year with Christ. Might we take Him and walk with Him together. Let's pray as His people.